Chapter 43, Saturday, January 18th, 1777. That even a failure cannot be more fatal than to remain in our present situation. In short, some enterprise must be undertaken in our present circumstances, or we must give up the cause. Our affairs are hastening fast to ruin if we do not retrieve them by some happy event. Delay with us is now equal to a total defeat. Colonel Joseph Reed, in a letter to General George Washington.
"Please, ma'am," I started.
"Silence!"
She cracked the crop across my shoulder. The back door opened and Hannah entered.
"Oh, excuse me,"
she said, turning to leave again.
"Stay,"
Madam ordered. Hannah let the door close and murmured,
"Yes, madam,"
her eyes stealing once to me, then quickly away.
I fought the urge to run for the knife drawer.
Madam paced in front of me.
"I have never in my entire life been so humiliated."
She paused and put on a mimic face.
"I saw your little black girl talking to a rebel officer on Warren Street. Do you allow your slaves to consort with the enemy?"
I could not swallow nor breathe. She brought the crop down with a crack on the edge of the table.
"Jane Drinkwater said this to me. Jane Drinkwater, the biggest gossip in New York."
Madam paced again, her hair flying loose, her manner quite unsteady.
"I said, 'No, Jane, you must be mistaken, not our Sal. Colonel Hawkins himself uses her for errands.'"
She stopped suddenly.
"And Jane says, 'No, Anne, your girl was speaking to a rebel prisoner on Warren Street. It's hard to miss the mark on her face. From my carriage, I saw her take a note from his hand.'"
I opened my mouth to protest, but she slashed at me again.
This time, the blow opened a cut on my forehead. "Give me that note,"
Madam demanded.
"I have no note, ma'am," I said quiet.
She held out her hand.
"Liar! Give me that paper or I'll turn you over to the British commander so fast your fool head will spin."
Her voice shook with rage. I reached into my pocket and pulled out the folded note. Madam looked over to Hannah.
"See, you just need to be firm with them."
Hannah said nothing. A drop of blood rolled down the side of my face. I clutched the note in my fist.
"Give it."
Madam narrowed her eyes.
"Did you hear me, girl?"
Everybody carried a little evil in them, Mama once told me. Madam Lockton had more than her share. The poison had eaten holes through her soul and made room for vermin to nest inside her.
"Girl!"
Madam stamped her foot on the floor. The evil inside of me woke and crackled like lightning. I could wrap my hands around her throat. I could brain her with a poker, thrust her face into the flames. I could beat her senseless with my fist. I shook from the effort of holding myself still, clutching the crumpled paper. Mama said we had to fight the evil inside us by overcoming it with goodness. She said it was a hard thing to do, but it made us worthy. I breathed deep to steady myself. I threw the captain's note into the fire. Hannah gasped. Madam shrieked and pushed me out of the way, but the paper was already alight. She dropped the crop and smacked me again in the face with her hand, as she had the day I first landed in New York.
"You foul, bloody wench!"
She reached behind her, picked up a bowl, and hurled it at me. I ducked and it crashed against the hearth.
"I will sell you!" she screamed. "I will auction you at dawn on Monday. I'll sell your demon sister, too, to the most cruel, heartless master I can find, the devil himself if he wants."
She paused to catch her breath.
"Ruth?"
Hannah stepped forward.
"I do believe there was a knock at the front door, madam," she said. "But she already sold Ruth."
Madam glared at her.
"Then answer it, you bloody fool."
"Didn't she?"
As Hannah left, Madam brushed back her hair, gathering her dignity. I still stood by the fire where the note had burned to fine ash. I could not think what might happen next. Madam tugged at her short gown.
"What's that stupid look on your face?"
she said with a harsh laugh.
"You didn't know I still owned her, did you?"
"Ruth?"
The name escaped my mouth.
"Brat," Madam spat. "Couldn't find a buyer. Had to ship her down to Charleston. I should tell the estate manager to get rid of her. Toss her in the swamp. Her death will be on your head, you insolent fool.
Hannah came back in from the hall.
The hairdresser, madam.
What?
Madam wheeled about.
What did you say?
The hairdresser's come to prepare you for the ball. The Queen's ball, ma'am. You must leave in a few hours.
Madam cleared her throat and stood straighter.
Of course. You must first help me into my gown.
Hannah nodded.
Yes, ma'am.
Lock the girl in the potato bin, then come upstairs.
The bin was more than half filled with potatoes and smelled of damp earth and worms. There was not enough room to sit up, but lying down was like lying in a bed of rocks. I wanted to scream and pinch myself hard to fight the urge. I did not want to give Madam any satisfaction. Overhead came the noises of footsteps as the hairdresser performed his job and left, and the colonel returned from headquarters to change into his dress uniform, and Madam sent Hannah running for this folderol and that. There was the sound of horse hooves and the roll of carriage wheels, and the front door opened and then closed, and the house fell quiet, save for Hannah's steps in the kitchen. A light appeared through the boards of the bin.
It's me, Hannah said. She's gone.
The light was set on the ground. Then there was a fumbling of a key in the padlock. The bin door opened, and Hannah peered in.
I brought you some things. Here.
She handed me a chamber pot, a blanket, and a mug of water.
Tain't right to lock you away with nothing. You ain't an animal.
Let me go, please, I pleaded. But before I could say anything further or reach for her, she had slammed down the door and shot home the lock again.
I'll be back by dawn and check on you then, she said. Try to sleep.
Please, Hannah, I cried. Please, I beg of you. Her footsteps flew up the stairs and the door slammed. I thought I heard a sob, but perhaps I didn't. The bees overtook me then. As evening moved into night, they ate through me and hived up inside my brain pan with a loud buzz, their wings beating me into submission. Someone whimpered and cried, and it must have been me, but it mattered not, for I was already dead. It was only a few days, hours perhaps, until my heart would stop beating, in truth, and the bees would fly off to haunt someone else. And then came the sound of a distant roar, like a lion just sprung from a trap. The bees paused, and I froze.